Absolutely.
Appreciate that. So do I need to push the button here?
Push that button so that it's green.
It doesn't open up a hole in the floor, does it?
I don't think so. It hasn't yet.
All right, there we go. I guess we're on here. So, well, good evening.
Good evening.
Good to see everyone tonight. It is good to be here with you all. Been here, you know, a couple of times now for the Noah's ordination. I see that he's a lot more relaxed now than he was that night. So that was exciting. And then the other time we came, which was actually just a few months ago, when the VBS team was here and. Came over to see our son Kenny, and I see that your church has survived the VBS. So it's a joy to be here. Love being here with Brother Noah, Miss Heather, and their family, and they've been a blessing. They're a blessing there in school. And last time we came here, come to find out, Brother Noah told me, one thing that he did when he was in my classes, and so I'm kind of curious what else he did behind my back. It was a blessing. We counted a privilege and honor to serve the Lord there at Heartland Baptist Bible College and investing in young people's lives and training laborers to go out into all the world, and so thrilled to see this fine family here and serving the Lord, and we just thank the Lord for them, and we're excited about what the Lord has for you here and in Wellington. So. Had a nice drive over. It's beautiful weather, isn't it? Great, great. I love this time of the year, fall time. There for a split second, as I was coming down the highway here, I thought, boy, there's snow alongside the road. And then I realized, oh, no, that's cotton, you know. So it's cotton picking time. So, all right, well, let's see if you would turn in your Bibles to the Book of Acts. And Book of Acts. Be reading there in chapter number 1, and like Brother Noah mentioned, that we served the Lord there in Kenya, East Africa, for 13 years, and now I've been at Heartland for 12, and who knows how long the Lord will give us there, and till they kick us out, I guess, or anyways. But it's been a privilege and honor to serve the Lord there. Well, in Acts chapter 1. And we're going to start, our text here will be from verse number 1 to verse 14, but we'll also read some other verses, and maybe chapter. Look at a few here in chapter 2. Let's begin here in verse number 1. It says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." Now he's talking about the book of Luke there, the former treaties, former letter there. Goes on to say, "Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and in the othermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go up into heaven. They returned. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So we'll stop right there with our reading, and let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get into our message here tonight. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us, and so thankful for the beautiful weather outside. And Lord, what a honor and privilege it is to meet here in your house, and Lord, to look into your word, and Lord, to consider what you'd have for us to do this year in this mission conference. And Lord, I pray for this church, as Lord, as they are seeking your will, and Lord, I pray that they are praying about what you would have them to do this coming year for missions, and Lord, and sending out missionaries around this world. Because Lord, there's such a need of the gospel of Jesus Christ all over this world. As we look at our own country and the condition that it's in, our country needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Lord, I pray, be with us now tonight in our message here. And I pray, Lord, just enable me, Lord, to speak and to say what I need to say here this evening. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight our message is going to focus on the area of prayer. And, you know, before accomplishing anything, we might say, for the work of the Lord, boy, it needs to be preceded in prayer, does it not? And particularly when we're considering doing something for the Lord, and when it comes to, for example, a mission conference. In fact, as your pastor's already mentioned, that he's hoped that you've already been spending some time and praying what the Lord would have you to do. And so, and you know, in particular this area of prayer, I don't know about you, but this is one area I struggle with. And I think if we're all honest, it's an area that we all struggle with, you know, as believers. I mean, I say, you know, why is that? Why do we struggle in this area? Well, I believe that this is where Satan battles us the most. You know, it's this area of prayer because really this is where the battle takes place, is really on our knees and praying and crying out to the Lord for the needs of others. And many times, you know, sometimes, you know, prayers can, this area of prayer can sometimes be misunderstood. For example, a story is told here. Let me just tell you the story. This lady telling a story about her two daughters. When they were young, she says here, years ago when my two girls were small, they were taught how to say their blessings before eating their meal. Well, one night as I was busy scurrying around the kitchen, I told them both to say their blessing without me. I took a moment to watch them as they both squeezed their eyes tightly, shut their folded hands, and as my four-year-old finished, her three-year-old sister kept on praying. Another minute or two passed before she lifted up her head, looked at her plate, and in an indignant voice said, "Hey, my peas are still here." You know, and you know, we chuckle at that, and you know, but you know, sometimes maybe even as adults, you know, we may not necessarily do that anymore. At least I hope not, but maybe so. I don't know. I think maybe students at Harley might think that at cafeteria food sometimes. I don't know, but you know, we sometimes misunderstand prayer, or well, actually, as in James says, we pray amiss, and not you know, many times praying as we should, or maybe misunderstand the Lord in answering our prayers, and so I'd like to talk with you a little bit here tonight about this area of prayer. And tonight the message is Destroying Walls with Dynamite Prayers. And that's the title of our message tonight, Destroying Walls with Dynamite Prayers. You might be interested, you know, where did I get that title? Well, we'll point it out here, you know, in our lesson. You know, men in particular, we like to blow things up. Or we like to maybe destroy things. It's just kind of fun sometimes to, if we're going to knock down a wall or... you know, when it comes to remodeling, we love that part of tearing something down. But boy, when it comes to, you know, constructing, that takes a lot more tedious work and detail. You know, maybe as a kid, you know, you get a boy with a firecracker and finding some toad, you know, or something, different. Yeah. Or maybe a tin can and just watching, seeing how that tin can, you know, blows up into the air. And it's just fun stuff doing these kind of things. And again, maybe just, you know, it's an old building detonating it, watch it implode coming to the ground. Or maybe an old bridge that needs to be removed and blowing that up. Or maybe building a highway, you know, through some hills or through a mountain. They've got to make a pathway, and so dynamite is used in making that pathway through, or maybe a tunnel, you know, and maybe you've been through some tunnels here in the United States, and we took a trip out to New York City and going through Pennsylvania. There were some long tunnels through there. Well, there had to be some explosive that had to be used in making that access, you know, through that mountain. I know there's some in Colorado, and you know, to me, it's amazing, you know, what they do, and making tunnels. Now these days, they've got these massive machines that boring machines that make these tunnels, like subways in New York City, or off, you know, and I read about one recently. They're in Seattle building a new tunnel for another subway to go through, and you know, don't even have to use explosives, apparently, but just these massive machines that just drill these holes, and it's already smooth, you know, the hole is, and all these kind of things. So technology is, you know, quite amazing today. Well, you know, in our text here, again, we're dealing with the area of prayer, and we might say, well, what does this have to do, you know, destroying walls or destroying things or blowing things up? What does this have to do with prayer? Well, there are a lot of barriers to the gospel. And barriers, we might say walls and things that need to be removed. And the only way that they're going to be removed is through prayer. Prayer, praying. You know, I'm so thankful that, in growing up, a church that prayed. And my wife, you know, growing up in a church that prayed together, and I'm thankful for a church that we attend now there in Southwest Baptist Church that sees the value of praying, and I imagine you do too, you know, here at your church. And you know, before Jesus sent his disciples out to go into all the world to preach the gospel, he first of all gave them a commandment here. For example, look at verse number 4, as we read here in chapter number 1. Verse number 4 states again, and being assembled together with them, commanded them, this is Jesus, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, okay, which he goes on to say, which he saith, ye have heard of me. So he gives his disciples this command to, first of all, wait for the promise of the Father. You know, well, what was this promise? Well, we know it was the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, that they were to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we know that, for example, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon believers to empower them, to enable them to accomplish some great tasks. And you think of, for example, in particular, Samson, you know, and the Holy Spirit of God just coming upon him and being able to do just incredible feats. Well, the Holy Spirit did not come permanently to indwell them at this time, because Christ had not died upon the cross and risen again from the dead. So at this point now, I mean, the Holy Spirit is about to come to permanently indwell believers. Okay, and so Christ is telling them, you know, before I send you out on your mission, you need me. You need the Holy Spirit of God to do my work. Okay, so he tells them to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. It was, you know, it's the Holy Ghost that would give them the power that they would need. Okay, so here's this word. So where do we read this word? Look at verse number 8. And he tells them here, but ye shall receive power. Okay, so there's that word. Power. Actually, the word, if you look up that word power, it comes from the Greek word dunamis. where we get the word dynamite, power. You say, power, power to do what? Well, we might say this word power also could mean, you know, strength, the ability, the enabling, or we might say the resources that you need to do the work that I have called you to do. I mean, listen, we cannot do the work of God in our own flesh. Now, we could try, but boy, we're going to run out of gas, we might say, in a hurry. We need the enabling of God, the ability, we might say, to preach the Word of God, to be that witness, to do His work. See, because if we try to do it in our own flesh, it's not going to last.
Amen. Yep.
Now, look, just back up a couple verses here. You know, here Jesus is telling them, you know, He's given them the command to wait in Jerusalem, and that they'll receive the enabling power of the Holy Spirit of God. Well, verse 6, it says, when they were therefore come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time again restore again the kingdom to Israel? And in verse 7, He tells them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons, which the Father has put in His own power. You know, many times we can look around us, and boy, we're living in some interesting times, are we not? And if you watch the news very long, it can be quite depressing, right? Especially this time of the year, especially what's going on in our country with elections coming. I don't know about you, but I've never seen an election like this in all my life. It's like, what in the world? Is this a three-ring circus or what?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, and I'm going to go ahead and vote. It's not going to be who I'm voting for, who I'm voting against, you know, pretty much. I mean, I don't care for either one.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so we might say the times and seasons that we're in, and, you know, and boy, it could sure get depressing. And you look at our world today, and not just elections, but just everything that's going on in our own country can really, boy, you wonder, Lord, are you coming back soon? You know, I sure am looking forward to you, Lord, coming back. You know, praise the Lord, and we should be. In fact, the Lord wants us. We are to be looking up and expecting and anticipating the Lord to come back. And let's hand it to the disciples here. They were looking for the Messiah to come. But you know, He told them, listen, it's not for you to know when it's time to set up the kingdom. And you know as well as I do that there are those that have been trying to set dates for when the Lord's coming back for a long time. You know, I received one time a little booklet that says 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 1988. So here we are, you know, we're still here. So it's like, you know, that's just mankind. I guess, you know, we like to figure things out and when to set a date or whatever. But Christ is telling, listen, it's not for you to know. I am coming back. But until that time, He tells them, I want you to be busy. It's not for you to know the times of the seasons. Don't get frustrated or concerned about right here what's going on now. Just be busy telling people about Me. And this is what He tells them here, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me. See? He's telling them, yes, and you know, things are, you know, in other parts of Scripture, they're in the Gospels. He told them about, listen, you know, times will get tough, and men, you know, deceiving one another. But listen, He's telling them here, preach the Gospel. Don't be concerned about the times and the seasons. Don't be concerned about, of course, at that time, they were concerned about the Romans, right? The Jews were wanting their Messiah to come to overthrow Rome. And so their nation could be set up as a great nation again. And so Christ said, listen, do not be worried about the times or the seasons. Don't be concerned about Rome. Don't be concerned about this over here and this and that. I want you to wait in Jerusalem for the enabling of the Holy Spirit of God so that you could be witnesses for Me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. That is what our minds should be upon, is telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ.
So,
And I know, boy, we, you know, our minds can get so carried away with all kinds of other things, right? And elections and this and that, this issue and that issue. And boy, we've got to keep the focus. What is the purpose and reason why I'm here upon this earth? It's to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God so that I can be a witness for Him. I could tell other people about my wonderful Savior. Yeah. And so this is what He's telling them here. And so He tells them, you know, after receiving the Holy Ghost and His power, they would be witnesses for Christ. There, you know, verse number 8, ye shall be witnesses. And so this was Jesus' instructions for them, was to first of all, you know, to wait. Well, we don't like to wait, do we? Oh my goodness, you know, this day and age of technology we live in, and conveniences of, you know, every time we turn around, you know, we get microwaves, and of course, instant, you know, messaging with cell phones and Facebook, and so waiting can really be a, you know, challenging time, especially us as Americans. But here, the Lord's telling them to wait. Thank God they waited. You know, they waited for the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. Well, while waiting, you know, it's not that they were just to sit around and twiddle their thumbs. While they were waiting, they were busy. What were they busy doing? Well, verse number 14 gives a pretty good idea what they were doing, and also, you know, through the rest of the chapter there, which we didn't read, you know, verses 15 all the way down to verse 26, that portion of Scripture, they were doing some church business. They were, you know, selecting the new apostle. They selected Matthew. But what I want to focus on here tonight is in particular, is verse number 14. What were they busy doing while they were waiting for the Holy Spirit of God? I mean, Christ had already promised that they would receive the Holy Spirit. But while they were waiting, they were busy praying. Verse number 14, and this is where we'll kind of camp here for a little bit, is verse number 14. These all, of course, the ones preceding here in verse number 13, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And this is with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And so this, we see here that they were a praying church. And we might say, praying for what? Well, obviously praying for the Holy Spirit of God, praying for the enabling, that because they needed God. You know, I don't know if you remember, but which I'm sure you do, you know, when they're in the Garden of Gethsemane right before Christ was arrested, guess what happened? He was arrested, and where were the disciples? They all ran and fled. So there wasn't much boldness at that time. So they knew their own flesh. They weren't able to be a witness, go to Jerusalem and to all the world. Lord, we need you. So they were praying for that enabling from the Holy Spirit of God. You know, again, I thank the Lord for you know, a praying church, and you know, and growing up. You know, my home church there in a little town called Wamego, Kansas, way up there by Topeka. Every Wednesday night they had a prayer meeting. You know, some churches might have, you know, they have a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and they don't have any prayer meeting at all, or they might just take up some prayer requests. Well, we had prayer meetings every Wednesday night. The pastor would give a short message, a challenge to us, and then take up prayer requests, and then the ladies would stay in the auditorium. Us men would go back into our various different rooms. I'll never forget that. It really impacted my own personal life, being able to kneel down beside men and hear them pray. Amen. You know, hear my dad pray, hearing other men of the church to pray, and them just sensing and knowing that they are praying to their Heavenly Father, and that taught me to pray. And listen, you know, we ought to be that example to our children, to the next generation. I know how that impacted my own personal life, and I wanted that also to impact my family, my children. And that's how we disciple others. And one way is by praying together as a church, praying with that younger generation, bringing children along with us in those prayer meetings and in our church services so that they can hear men of God and women of God praying, dependent upon the Lord. That greatly impacted my life, and I thank God for that upbringing. And now at our church at Southwest, and we don't necessarily do that in a service, but we as men gather together and pray every Sunday morning. And you know, we meet together at 7:15 in the morning. And I know every church can, whatever will work for you as a church, be a praying church. Here we see a praying church, praying together, unified praying together here. Now look at, you know, what kind of, now we might say, what kind of praying were they doing? Well, I did a little word study here. It helps when you do that. It kind of helps. For example, look at the word continued. These all continue. Now, you know, and just reading it just at a glance, you know, like in using that word, well, I continued, you know, on my journey. Maybe, you know, you're taking a trip, road trip, you stop at a roadside park, rest a little bit, and then you get in your car and you continue on. And so we kind of use that word in that kind of sense, and continuing with your work, you stop for a break or whatever, and then you continued on. And so, you know, in reading that, we kind of get this idea. Maybe that's what that means. They just continued in prayer. Maybe they took a little break and then got back and continued in prayer again. But actually, look, you know, when you look up the word, it has a whole big meaning, completely different than just that. So, in one word study book, it mentions, gives a whole list of things of what this word continue means, to continue in prayer. Listen to this. This is from Thayer's word study book. This word continue means, it has a whole list here, six different things, so bear with me here. It says to adhere to one, be his adherent, to be devoted or constant to one. Another one is this, to be steadfastly attentive unto, to give unremitting care to a thing. The third one, to continue all the time in a place. Fourth one, to persevere and not to faint. Fifth one, to show oneself courageous for. Wow, that was, I thought that was interesting. And the last one, to be in constant readiness for one, wait on constantly. But as I looked at that and I looked at each one of these definitions, I actually really became convicted. Because is this what this means? That is this the kind of praying that they were doing here in this upper room? They were persevering in prayer. They were not fainting in prayer, praying for the Holy Spirit of God. They were bold and courageous in their prayer, steadfast in it. Is that how I pray for the needs of others? I go, oh my word. You know, how often do I will just, maybe many times just mechanically will just go through a prayer list and, you know, and I'm thinking, Lord, I can do a whole lot better in my prayer life. And, you know, I know we're all busy, right? And, but boy, if we're too busy to pray, to really pray from our heart. And you know, that's what the Lord told his disciples. But when the disciples heard the Lord pray, they said, Lord, will you teach us to pray?
Yeah. Amen.
You know? And Jesus told his disciples to don't be like the Pharisees, just, you know, to be heard of men. You find that closet and you get with the Lord and you basically, you know, basically telling them, you know, praying from your heart. And boy, when just looking at that one word, I was like, oh my goodness. And I like what another writer said about this word. He put it this way: they stuck to this verse here. They stuck to the praying for the promise of the Father till the answer came. That's what the word, in other words, to continue, to persevere, to not give up in praying. And I just got to thinking, my goodness, how often do I maybe give up or quit praying for something or someone? You know, for example, we're there at Heartland Baptist Bible College, we are praying for a new men's dorm. I mean, it's been several years now. I think, Brother Noah, I can't remember exactly what year now, but it's been several years that the Lord laid upon Brother Sam's heart about praying for the need of a new men's dorm. And if you've ever been through the men's dorm, I don't know if you have, but Brother Noah has stayed there and knows it. They need some new men's dorms. They need some new dorms. But now it's been several years now. About asking, seeking, knocking. And just to be honest with you, sometimes in my own personal thoughts, I might think, will it ever happen? You know, I mean, just the flesh. And think, really, is it ever? And or maybe I'm not praying as I should. Sometimes forget and not coming to mind about the dorm. But boy, looking at this, you know, they persevered. A persevering prayer, not giving up prayer, but also they did this in unity together. Okay. It mentions here they all continued with one accord in prayer. That phrase there, one accord, with, in other words, with one mind, with one passion, being single-minded, focused upon the Holy Spirit of God coming and enabling them so that they could be that witness. Unified together. One purpose, one heart, one mind. That's the way our church ought to be. As having a heart for the world. And God has called you here this week to meet together for the need of the world. And before you can make any decision or act or move forward in reaching the world for Jesus Christ, you need to meet together in prayer. Yep. To pray. Again, what were they praying for? Well, they were praying for the promise of the Father. They were praying for power. They were praying for the strength from the Holy Spirit to be that witness. I like what one author said about this, because we might think, well, why did they need to pray? Jesus promised him to come anyway. And we have many promises throughout the Scripture. Well, he put it this way: God's promises do not render prayer superfluous, or in other words, needless. On the contrary, it is only His promises which give us the warrant to pray, and the confidence that He will hear and answer. Amen. Boy, I like that. The disciples knew they needed the Holy Spirit. Well, why? Why did they need the Holy Spirit? Why did they need that power, that enabling? Well, just keep in mind what kind of men these were. They were Galileans. Rough men. Fishermen. And they were to, these are the men that God called to go into all the world. All the world, Lord, we're don't you remember who we are? We're fishermen. Yeah. And going into all the world, that means to other people groups that speak other languages. And Lord, we're Galileans. I can speak all these other languages. People that believe different things, different religions, different ways of life, come from all these different countries. Lord, how can we do this? That's why they needed the enabling of the Holy Spirit of God. Yeah. They needed him for God to bring down these walls, to bring down these barriers, we might say, with the dynamite of prayer. And listen, when you, for example, now look at chapter 2. And this is about from this moment here, chapter 1 to chapter 2 is a 10-day time span. And so on the day of Pentecost, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And what do you think they were doing? Well, praying. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And of course we know that is not what the charismatics say today, but the actual languages, as it mentions there. And in fact, verse number 9, eight and 9 here tells us, you know, all the different languages that they were speaking. It was a miracle of God. God did it. He broke down this wall, this barrier of these languages. Because, see, Jews came from all over the world to this particular holiday, the day of Pentecost. It was a Jewish holiday, a Jewish festival. Came on the day of Pentecost to celebrate and to recognize this day of Pentecost. And so, again, as it mentions, they came from everywhere. Verse number 5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Isn't it wonderful when we depend upon God and to watch God work? He is a planning God. He is a very smart God. He knows how to work. He knows the work. We don't. That's why we need to be dependent upon Him. God chose this holiday when all the people, all the Jews of the world came to them, came to Jerusalem. The disciples didn't have to go anywhere. The world came to them. You know? We need to learn how to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God. For example, you know, I tell them in classes, so what are maybe special holidays or places where the world comes to us? You know, we could say maybe the Olympics. Or you might have a special, I don't know about your town here, or like in Oklahoma City, there's different activities, different events. You know, 4th of July, I know in our town of Wamega, there's a 4th of July parade that and I know different towns, you have different parades and things, different special holidays. Why not take the opportunity for those things to pass out tracts, to be a witness, to set maybe a little booth or stand or something, pass out free water, and you know, where the community comes together. Or how about our universities, where we're talking, I mean, the world comes, I mean, students from all over the world come to our universities here in the United States of America. Going there and passing out tracts and being a witness. Yeah. And working smart, we might say. And we have students coming from, you know, like for example, universities there in Oklahoma City, from, you know, Saudi Arabia and these Middle Eastern countries, China and places where it's very, very difficult for Americans to get to, but yet here they are here. And take the opportunity and being a witness and sharing Christ. So here God break, He's the one, because they were dependent upon the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, and so in praying and waiting, to being dependent upon Him, the Holy Spirit comes upon Him, and He's the one that removes these barriers. See? Well, let me encourage you tonight to, you know, how can you as a church pray? You know, how can you pray for your missionaries? How can you pray for your church and, you know, our country? If I could get some help here, maybe Brother Noah or somebody can. Abbreviated prayer list here, just to give us a few ideas of you know, how we can pray as believers and how you can pray as a church. Thank you. know, sometimes in our prayer time, again, sometimes we can be kind of mechanical or just, we just don't know how to pray many times, do we? Sometimes we might say, Lord, just bless the missionaries, or bless this person, or help them. But I think the Lord wants us to be a bit more in depth with their prayer, and I believe a bit more knowledgeable of how to pray. Now, this is just, again, a very abbreviated, we could add, I'm sure, a whole lot more to this, but this is, for example, here, the first part here, praying for laborers. The Lord, that was His prayer request for us. He told His disciples, pray, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into His harvest field. So that ought to be on a prayer list, that God would call forth laborers. And, for example, this year at Heartland, our enrollment's down a little bit, and we're not wringing our hands and worrying about things, but Brother Sam, Brother Copes talked about it, but the Lord really actually, they told us, convicted them about what. How much have we been praying for laborers ourselves? That God would send forth laborers, that God would bring students here so we can train them to go out. Likewise, how about your church here? Are you praying for laborers? Are you praying for God to, for souls to be saved and for those new believers to be trained and to serve the Lord and to be sent out as laborers into the harvest field? How much are we praying for laborers? Praying for, and I have here for number one here, praying from your own family, that laborers would come forth from your own family. That your own children or grandchildren would be sent forth as laborers. What? I want them around me, right? I know, hey, we have grandchildren now, believe it or not. I know. But children that are still around us, but praying that God would use them. Yep. Praying for laborers, again, from your own church right here, that God would send forth laborers from your church into all the world. Yep. From other churches, that God would call forth laborers. Because listen, for example, Heartland Baptist Bible College, where do our students come from? Churches. And if you're not winning souls here and discipling and training them and praying that they'll be sent, then we're not going to get any students. It's got to come from right here. Yeah. Praying for your church, praying for your own family, praying for other churches. Again, praying for Heartland Baptist Bible College. How can you pray for Heartland Baptist Bible College? Praying for the students that are there now. Well, listen, there's real struggles that go on, that students struggle with, struggling with their studies or struggling with knowing God's will for their life, and struggling with financial issues and meeting their needs, the school bill, and here's the thing: if Satan can get them to quit and to give up there in Bible college, he knows that, hey, he has hindered the gospel. He has hindered maybe other future people, being saved out there if he can get them to quit there. We need you to pray for us. We need you to pray for students there, that they be faithful and stay on track and finish the course so that God could use them in future ministries around this world. And I say, I have here from other countries. Well, what do you mean there? Well, that God would call forth laborers from other countries. And they would. America's not the only sending nation. Other nations around this world are sending missionaries. We need to pray that God would call forth laborers from these other countries. And then praying for your missionaries. And this, of course, this isn't, again, an exhaustive list, but give you an idea. Hey, missionaries need to have a walk with God. Hey, missionaries can struggle with their walk, get busy and things, and can neglect their personal time. Missionaries? Yes. Yep. Pray for their family. Pray for their marriage. It would be strong. Praying for their children. Their language studies. Oh, my goodness. You know, I learned the language of Swahili. But boy, I tell you, and Swahili is not as difficult language as other languages. You know, it'd be similar to Spanish. You know, the vowel sounds are all the same, and that was a blessing. But still, you know, no matter what, the language that you're learning is the hardest one in the world. You know, so anyway, you know, pray for their language studies, that God would free their tongue, that it would enable them to speak that language. And then, of course, adjusting the culture. And there's always cultural things to, you know, to adjust to. And even your older missionaries has been there for a while still can maybe, you know, we call it culture stress, you know, not culture shock anymore, but culture stress, dealing with cultural things. But, you know, and dealing with unreasonable, wicked men, you know, in government or whatever, dealing with issues and driving in these countries can be quite dangerous many times. So, again, for their safety. And then wisdom in communicating the gospel. Salvation of souls and growth of new believers, churches established. And knowing when to turn that church over can many times be a difficult thing to know when it's time to move on. You know. And then praying for your church. Are you praying for this mission conference? Are you praying for laborers? Are you praying for each other? You know, that each member that would, you know, that first of all, before God wants your money, He wants your life surrendered to Him. You know, give your life. Lord, use me. Use me no matter, you know, however you could use me in my workplace and as I go through town here, you know, to the bank or the grocery store or wherever, use me for your glory. Help me to be a witness. Amen. And of course, pray for your pastor. Pray for his family. Amen. That God would, you know, uplift them up in prayer. And of course, souls are being saved right here in your town. Yep. And of course, you know, the need of our country. My goodness. We're in desperate need of prayer, are we not? And what this country needs is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we praying for our leaders? Wow. It's easy for us to complain about it, right? And I've done my share of, you know, complaining about our president and the future leaders that we have on the ballot. But how often am I praying for? Pray for them. I mean, Miss Hillary needs to be saved. Okay, Mr. Trump needs to be saved. Yes. Yep. Our president now needs Christ. Yep. Leaders in Congress, they need the Lord. Yep. Now thank the Lord for those Christians that are serving and, you know, in our government, and they need our prayers. Are there barriers? Yeah. Are there things that seem to be almost insurmountable? You know, mountains to cross, we might say, or just almost, you know, impossible things. Was it not what the Lord was asking His disciples to do? Almost seemed like an insurmountable task to accomplish? To go into all the world, Lord, we're Galileans, we don't speak these languages. He says, hey, it's upon me. Depend upon me. Wait. I'll enable you. I will do the work. And boy, the Lord did the work, did He not? It was God that empowered them, God that enabled them to speak. And of course, we don't know how it was done, though. Just, you know, they were speaking and these languages came out of their mouth and everyone heard the wonderful works of God, it says. So, you know, many times we just don't know how to pray, or sometimes we just don't have a plan. Make a plan. And again, I know we're all busy, and sometimes, boy, it's hard to spend 30 minutes or an hour in devotion time. But, you know, we can try to make that time, to make some blocks of time of prayer. But the Lord tells us also just to be in an attitude of prayer. Can we not pray as we're driving down the road? Keeping our eyes open, of course, you know, right? Yeah. But just to be in an attitude of prayer. The Lord brings something to your mind. To pray for someone, or if it's your pastor or someone else or another missionary, say, Lord, I pray, you've brought this name to my mind. Lord, I lift them up to you in prayer. I don't know what they're going through right now, but Lord, I just pray that you be with them and help them in whatever situation they might be in. You know, while we're at work or while we're driving, we can be in that spirit and that attitude of prayer. And as the Bible tells us, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Let's be faithful. Let's have that enduring and praying again, you know, from our heart. How's our prayer life? You know, it's not us. It's really, prayer is just this. It's humbling ourselves, kneeling before His Lord. We can't, but You can. And we're trusting You to do a work. And so I'd like to encourage you tonight. And you may already be praying for this conference and praying for God to work, but let me encourage you to not to give up, but to continue to endure and pray for the offerings and pray, Lord, what would You have me to do? What can I do in this coming new year? Because our country and this world needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. But before it can move forward, before the gospel can move forward, we must get up on our knees and to pray and to, because God has promised that He'd be with us. Well, let's pray and with believing prayer that He will answer and He'll lead us. Well, let's stand together if you would, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you would, and let's, maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight and maybe you need to come and spend some time in prayer with the Lord. But let's pray together. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. And Lord, I know my own personal life. I can do much better in my prayer life. And so Lord, I pray for this church here tonight as they are seeking Your will and Your enabling of what they will do in this coming year for missions. And Lord, I pray that You would enable them, and Lord, that their faith and trust is in You. And Lord, so be with us now in this time of invitation together. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.